In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The collect that we gather with this Sunday each year always grabs my attention, primarily because it was the collect that was used by Father Lee Graham each time he began to preach. Lee Graham was the Rector Emeritus of St. John's in Tallahassee and was a big part of the reason that I wanted to serve in that parish. I wanted some of Lee to rub off on me. He was also the founding priest of St. Luke's in Birmingham. In his younger days, Lee the Greater, as I refer to him, had a shock of red hair and was known to have a temper to match. In his latter days, his temper had waned, but his passion for the gospel and for justice had not. He spoke out for those who were marginalized until he could speak no longer. So when I first encountered this collect again this week, I thought it was an odd collect to be paired with the readings that we have for today, but it's actually just right for the words that we have to wrestle with. The scripture we are called to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. That sounds right for today. The scripture set before us is not something we can easily gloss over or take at face value. The words from the prophet Isaiah, the apostle Paul, and Christ all deal with the end times, when the world as we know it is changed. But their respective dealings on this subject are quite different. Each one is coming from a very different perspective. And because of that, it's important that we spend time reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting what we hear today. In the order of our readings, the passage from Isaiah comes first. But in the order of the things to come, Isaiah would be last. Today, Isaiah has the final say. Isaiah tells of a new heaven and a new earth, when strife and hardship of life is no longer. For Jerusalem is joy and people are delight. When life is ordered as God intended and pain and suffering are no more. Even the animals that are prey will be at peace with those who are their predators. All will be well and creation will live in harmony. Jesus speaks to the days leading up to this time of great comfort. There will be hardships, he says. This is not going to be without trials. If you follow me, you are setting yourself up for controversy and even division. Jesus speaks of those who will claim to be prophets and mislead folks into following them. And that's happened time and again and continues to happen to this day. There's never a shortage of folks claiming to have all the answers, to know the mind of God better than anyone else. Jesus says, watch out for those who would lead you astray. That's easier said than done. So often those who claim to know the truth and have all the answers have charming personalities. So often those who would lead astray appear to be so genuine. How do we know who holds the truth? How do we know when we are being led astray? Our psychotic friend Justin describes the world in his mind as interference. He constantly battles this interference. Sometimes the interference is mild, and sometimes the interference overtakes him, so that the only thing he can do is be still and try and cope with the barrage. I'm not sure of what Justin's experience of living with interference is like. I know it's debilitating much of the time. And the more time I've spent with Justin trying to determine how best to help him and what it must be like to live with interference, I've come to the realization that we're constantly dealing with interference too. Maybe our interference isn't the same as the interference Justin lives with, but it's interference nonetheless. There's never a shortage of those who claim to have the truth, the real picture, the facts about any given situation in our country or in the world. I'm often boggled by the never-ending stream of folks who claim to have the truth and the facts while making the polar opposite claims to other folks who claim to have the truth and the facts. How do we know who the false prophets are? How do we know what the truth is when we are bombarded with so much interference? We can start by heeding the words that we pray today to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest Scripture, not just gloss over, ignore, or dismiss it as no longer relevant in the 21st century. We need to wrestle with Scripture. We need to care enough about our faith that we take it to test and not leave it at face value. There's depth in the words of our Scripture that demand our attention, and more often than not, require deep mining, not just surface hoeing. The words we hear today from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians certainly require more than a quick gloss. If we take this brief pericope from the second letter of Paul to the congregation in Thessalonica, just as we had it in our insert today, we can go boldly forth condemning anyone who doesn't pull his or her own weight. You don't work, you don't eat, we would say, puffed up with that terrible bug of righteous indignation. Meals on Wheels would need to stop dead in its tracks, and the soup bowl could just go ahead and shutter its doors. Our beans and rice ministry would need to see payroll stubs before handing over bags of food. Scripture says it right here in 2 Thessalonians, that if you don't work, you don't eat. So that's that. What a relief. But we know better, don't we? You're probably thinking I was going a little too far with that, weren't you? And I was pushing it a bit. But the point remains. We must carefully and intentionally take time to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the treasures we have in our Scripture. On deeper study of the situation in Thessalonica, it seems that there were a group of the faithful that were obsessing about the apocalypse, when the end would come. These folks were convinced that Jesus was going to return at any minute, so they became idle. Remember, this was the first century, not the 21st century, and our dear friend Paul had been telling people that Christ would be coming back in power and great glory soon. And so it's not surprising that some folks thought of nothing else. They, as one theologian described it, were consumed with boisterous apocalyptic speculation. I dare you to try and say that 5 times fast. And they were busybodies, consumed with concerns about everyone else's situation, to the point of neglecting their own responsibilities in the community. To this situation, Paul made this comment, urging them to move out of stagnancy and into full involvement in the community. The command to take care of orphans and widows was not in question. This passage cannot comment on food stamps or Meals on Wheels. But it may speak to those of us who neglect to engage in the community of faith, focusing instead on our own priorities. Thanks be to God for our reminder today that Scripture is a gift to us that requires more of us than mere acceptance, that requires that we engage ourselves to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, so that we can be the people that God would have us to be. Amen.